Mark chapter 1. If you were present with us last Sunday for Sunday school, you know that we started a new study. We're going to be going verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark. We finished up the book of Acts Sunday before last, and we will now be going through the Gospel of Mark. And I gave you an introduction to the book, which I hoped would kind of lay a foundation for what we'll be studying as we go through the Gospel of Mark. Can anybody remember what I said the key verse for the Gospel of Mark is? The key verse? That's it. Chapter 10, verse 45. And I want you to look over there once again at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And what I want you to try to do, and I'm going to ask you each Sunday as we get started with our study, to try to recite this verse. I want you to try to commit this verse to memory. I think it's important to memorize Scripture. I believe one of the most valuable things that you can do as a Christian is commit the Scripture to memory, to learn as much Bible as you can possibly learn. And I would encourage you to try to do this with lots of verses. Just pick out verses that are special to you and try to memorize those verses. But since we're studying through Mark, I want you to try to learn Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Let's read it together. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, that's not a very long verse, but it's a very important verse. And I believe it to be the key verse in the Gospel of Mark. It helps us to understand Mark's perspective. I told you last Sunday that Mark presents the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant of God. And that's what Mark 10:45 has to do with. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ coming to minister and not to be ministered unto. So try to learn that verse. Put in just a little bit of time, memorize it. Hopefully by the time we get through with our study, you'll at least have that one verse memorized, because it is a very important verse. But we started chapter 1, we made it through verse number 3, and we saw that Mark begins really by telling us about John the Baptist. That's what he talks about or refers to in verses 2 and 3 of this chapter. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." What's wrong with that? What's wrong with what I just read? Did y'all notice that it was not exactly like what yours said? I will. It says in verse 2, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." That's not what it says in yours? Okay. Well, it doesn't say that, because I read from the New International Version, which I think I'm going to start using that now. And, what I am going to do, I mentioned it last Sunday, and I'm going to do this because I feel it's important to do it all along, just so that hopefully we will have it fresh in our mind and we won't be deceived by people who would try to lead us astray, because there are plenty of people out there, some with ill intention, some with good intention, that would love for us to get away from the King James Bible and accept any number of these other translations that are on the market. At last count, there was over 250 different translations that have come out since the King James Bible was given to us in the year 1611. And all of these profess to be newer and better than the King James Bible. They all compare themselves to one translation, the King James. And it's just sad to see how the body of Christ has allowed itself to be deceived and misled and taken down a path of apostasy. It really is sad. And it is so hard, it's next to impossible anymore to find a church that just sticks with the King James Bible and believes it to be the Word of God, plus and minus nothing. And I don't even know what your own personal conviction is about that. I do know what some of you believe, but I don't know what all of you believe about it. I feel that all of you know what my conviction is about it at this point. And I can tell you that as long as I'm the pastor here, it's going to be King James, period. That's just the way it's going to be. Nobody's going to intimidate me. Nobody's going to twist me. Nobody's going to force me into going against that. Nobody's going to threaten me with losing my position as pastor. I'm just telling you, I have drawn a line in the sand. I stand where I stand, and I don't care what anybody else thinks about it, okay? And y'all need to understand that. That's where I am. That's where I shall forever be as long as I live upon this planet down here. And not only am I going to stand by it, but I'm going to do my best to help you understand the truth about it. Now, what you do with that truth is between you and God. To your own master, you'll stand or fall. I can't make you believe anything. What I can do is give you the truth and allow you to make up your own mind. And my heart's desire and prayer to God is that you'll accept the truth and not be deceived by all of the stuff that you hear coming from pulpits and churches just right here in this county. So this is very, very important. There is no way that any Christian can ever become everything that God wants them to be just as a Christian, as a husband, as a wife, as an employee, as a child. You will never be everything that God wants you to be if you do not understand the truth about the Word of God. There's just no way it can happen. So I think it's important that every once in a while, and I'm not going to do it real often unless somebody accuses me of riding a hobby horse, but all along as I feel led of the Lord, I'm going to remind you of this truth. And I feel like this morning is a good time to do it, and then what we'll do next Sunday is we'll get right back into our study of Mark. The reason I'm doing it at this particular time is because in the Word of God, in the King James Bible, I want you to notice Mark 1, verse 2 says, now listen to it, as it is written in the prophets. No particular prophet is named, right? It just says, as it is written in the prophets. It doesn't say, as it is written in the prophet. It says, as it is written in the prophets, plural. So obviously, there's more than one prophet involved here, right? I mean, this is just simple English here. If you went to school and you paid any attention at all in English class, then you realize that it's just simple English we're dealing with here. As it is written in the prophets. And it says in the prophets because Mark goes back into the Old Testament and he pulls out two prophecies from the Old Testament. Prophecies made by different prophets. Y'all understand that? Now, the first one that he quotes in verse number 2 is the prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and we went over this last time. Malachi says, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Then verse 3 is a prophecy by Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So the King James says, as it is written in the prophets. Why would it say, as it is written in the prophets? Because there's two prophets, right? One is Malachi, one is Isaiah. Now, did y'all notice? I read it two times. Did you notice what it says in this other translation that I read from? It says, it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Is that right or is that wrong? It is written in Isaiah the prophet. And listen now. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. It says it is written in Isaiah the prophet. And then it quotes, the very first thing it quotes is the prophecy from Malachi. It doesn't even quote the prophecy from Isaiah first. It says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, and then it quotes Malachi chapter 3, verse, well, it don't even quote Malachi 3:1 because it changes it all up and it's not the same thing. But it supposedly quotes Malachi 3:1 first. It attributes that both of those prophecies in 2 and 3 to one prophet, to Isaiah the prophet. Now let me ask y'all something. If two things are different, if they're different, can they be the same? They can't, can they? If they're different, they're not the same. And one reason why I point this out is because the common thing that I hear all the time, I've heard it so much that it runs out my ears and my eyeballs. I'm so sick of hearing it. Is that all of these translations out there on the market say the same thing. And they're all the same. I've heard that time and time and time again. They say this. They say, well, they're only different in that they change around some of the old English words that you find in a King James Bible, and they make them easier to read and understand. And they always throw out the these and the thous. They say, well, they change out those old these and thous and that old King James that we don't understand, and they put it in modern vernacular, modern terminology that we can understand. First of all, that's not true, and I'm going to show you that's not true, as I have on other occasions. Second of all, and I don't desire to upset anybody or offend anybody, but if you don't know what thee and thou means, if you need somebody to update that so you understand it, you ain't very sharp, okay? I mean, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you, if you're stumbling over a word like thee and thou, you really didn't pay attention in English class, okay? Because those are not hard words to understand. And there's very few words given in a King James Bible that even needs to be explained. Very, very few of them. But that is the common thing. But here's what I want you to understand. They're not saying the same thing. They're all different. Now, either God has put out over 250 different words, or he's put out one, and the devil has put out a whole bunch of other ones. Do you understand that? Now, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but you will not convince me that two things that are different are the same. And what I just read you right here in Mark chapter 1 in the NIV is not the same as the King James Bible. And you say, well, how do you know the King James is right? Well, again, it shouldn't be real hard. The King James says, as it is written in the prophets, and there's more than one prophet that's quoted, right? And he doesn't quote the wrong one first. So if you just look at it and pay attention, you can understand which one's telling you the truth and which one isn't telling you the truth. And some people say, well, it's just not that big a deal. I don't see what the issue is. Well, I feel sorry for you. I really do. If you don't understand by now, after all that I've taught you, that it is an issue, and in fact, this matter that we're talking about is the issue of all issues. There is nothing more important than what we're talking about right here. And quickly people would say, well, what about the cross? That's the most important. What about Jesus? That's the most important. Well, let me remind you that every single thing you know about Jesus Christ, every single thing you know about the cross, every single thing that you know about God, period, comes from the Bible. So if we don't have a Bible, do you understand that we have no foundation whatsoever to support anything that we say we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you all understand that? If the Bible is wrong, if it's not right, we have no foundation. How can I stand? How could you stand and proclaim with authority the things that you and I believe about Jesus Christ if the Bible isn't true? So this, to me, is the matter of all matters. There is nothing more important. And that is why the devil has constantly, repeatedly, through the years, attacked this one issue. Because if he can get you away from the Word of God, he's gotten you away from your authority. He has taken your foundation from underneath you so that you have nothing to stand on. You have no support whatsoever. Let me ask you this. When you build a building, what is the most important part about the stability of that structure? It doesn't matter how good a structure you build. If there is no foundation, it's just a matter of time before it comes crumbling down. And if you don't have a foundation, a sure, firm foundation upon which to stand as a Christian, it's just a matter of time before your life crumbles all around you. That's just a fact of life. So this is the issue above all others. There's no issue greater than this. And we find in the Bible, and I don't have time to go into all this, but we find in the Bible several places where we are warned about people who would tamper with the Bible. Warned about people who would corrupt the pure words of Almighty God. We see that again and again. But I just want to take a little bit of time this morning to show you some of this stuff. So first of all, turn back in your Bible to the book of 2 Samuel. We're just going to look quickly at some verses, what they say. 2 Samuel. And I'm going to ask some of you to read these verses when we get there. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Now here's where I stand on this. If you choose to believe that some other version than the King James Bible is the Word of God, I don't agree with you, and I believe you are deceived by the devil. But that is your right and your prerogative in this country. If you want to believe that, that's fine. But do not, please, if you want to say it to somebody else, you go say it. Please don't come to me and tell me that you believe the NIV and the King James and the New American Standard and the Revised Standard Version and the RV and the Living Bible and all of these other ones that are out there are all the same. Please don't do that. Don't do that. What you got to do is say, okay, I believe the NIV is the Word of God, and I don't believe the King James is. You cannot say, I believe the King James is the Word of God, and the NIV is. You cannot do that because they are not the same. You understand that? Now, let me show you something here. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Who all's got it? Brother Vic, will you read verse number 19 out of the King James? That's all right.
A Bethlehemite slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. The staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam.
Well, that verse says that Elhanan slew the brother of Goliath. Is that what y'all's says? Is that what it says in y'all's? In so many words, Elhanan slew the brother of Goliath. I'm going to read it to you out of this one. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair, Oregon, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath, the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's beam. Did y'all hear that? It says Elhanan killed Goliath. Now that one said that Elhanan killed the brother of Goliath. This one says Elhanan killed Goliath. Those of you that went to Sunday school when you were a little child, who killed Goliath? Did Elhanan kill Goliath? Can two people kill the same person at different times? Y'all follow what I'm saying here? Now, you got to make up your mind. And again, you are within your right to decide whatever you want. What you're not within your right to do is propagate a bunch of garbage in this church right here. But in your own personal life, if you want to believe that Elhanan and David killed Goliath, help yourself. I mean, but have fun trying to explain that contradiction, okay? Because the same fella didn't kill both of them. David killed Goliath. So which one is right? You say again, how do you know the King James is right? Well, we know from the Bible that David killed Goliath, right? That one says, the King James says, that Elhanan slew the brother of Goliath. That's correct, right? So there's no contradiction in that. The contradiction is in the one I'm reading out of. And if you can't see that, I honestly don't know if there's any help for you if you can't see that. Look over at the book of Proverbs. We don't have time to spend a lot of time, but go to Proverbs. And I'm just picking out, this is what you need to understand, I'm just picked out a handful. There's literally thousands and thousands of places just like what we're reading right here. Proverbs chapter 25. When somebody gets to Proverbs 25, I want you to read verse 23. Miss Page, would you feel comfortable reading that verse for us? So it says, the north wind driveth away rain. Isn't that what it says? This one says, as a north wind brings rain. Say, well, that ain't really that big a deal. Well, I beg to differ, because one right and one wrong. And if it's wrong, it doesn't matter if it's talking about a speck of dust. What we're talking about is absolute perfect authority here. One is right and one is wrong. The King James says that the north wind, what does it say? Driveth away. The NIV says that it brings rain. That's what it says, as a north wind brings rain. It's the exact opposite. Now, that verse right there didn't change a thee, it didn't change a thou, it didn't update an old archaic word that us poor stupid people can't understand, okay? That's not what it did. It took a verse that says something and put something completely opposite, the direct opposite of it, in its place, did it not? Now, those of you that watch the weather and so forth, what does a north wind do? Does it drive away rain? It's exactly what it does. So which one's right? The King James Bible is the one that's right. Now let's look at another one. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. They're not the same. These people who say, well, they're all the same, I don't know. It's like the devil has got in their mind and just unscrewed some things or something, because they're not the same. They're not even close to the same. There's places, like I just showed you, where they say the complete opposite of one another. And then people say, well, they're all the same and teach the same thing. They don't teach the same thing. Proverbs chapter 30. Who would like to read verse number 28? Y'all don't all speak up at one time. Miss Rouse, would you like to read it? The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palace. What that's saying is a spider, in the context of that, is how these little small things have a lot of wisdom and can do different things. And a spider is used as an example of something that, you know, it's just a spider, but it can take hold with its hands and climb up into a king's palace, live somewhere that even you and I don't live, in a king's palace. Y'all following that? All right, this one says, a lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in king's palaces. A lizard. You say, what's the big deal? Well, one of them says spider and one of them says lizard. And if you got any sense at all, you know that a lizard and a spider are not the same thing. Are they? And it's not even the same meaning. It says a spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. This one says a lizard can be caught with the hand. It's not even talking about this animal doing something with its own hands and getting to a certain place with its own hands like it is in the King James Bible. It's completely different. It's not even close. Let's move on. Go now to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, Brother Jimmy, when you get there, would you read verse number 12, please? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Is that what it says? Oh, Lucifer. How many of you in here know who Lucifer is? Satan. The devil, right? Okay. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Let me read this one to you. Isaiah 14, 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. Lucifer's not even in it. And Lucifer is replaced with O morning star. Those of you that read your Bible, tell me who the morning star is. Revelation 22, the bright and morning star. You know what this thing does right here? And you say, well, it ain't no big deal. I don't see what the issue. I tell you what the issue is. This thing right here just took the devil's name out and in the place of the devil put the name of my Savior in there. If that doesn't offend you, you got a problem, friend. That bothers me, okay? Because it changed from the devil. Lucifer ain't even in it. I don't have time to stay on that, but let's move on now. Go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. This is a really familiar passage to most of us. This is a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they get thrown into the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar looks in there. Daniel chapter 3. Who would like to read a verse for us? Miss Jackie, would you feel comfortable reading one? Chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. I'm sorry. The form of the fourth is as the Son of God. Okay, now listen. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son, lowercase s, of the gods, plural. The one that you have says that's Jesus Christ in that fire, right? The Son of God. This one says the form of the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Now, that's not about a thee or a thou, friend. That's about blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ is what that is. And I hope you can see that. I really do. Go now. We got to hurry. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew chapter 18... Brother Randy, do you want to read a verse for us? Read Matthew chapter 18, verse number 11, please. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's a pretty important verse, wouldn't you say? Well, I'm going to read it to you now out of NIV, and I'm done. I'm done. The whole verse is gone. Not one word of that verse is in this thing here. The whole thing is gone. And let me show you this. You have the number 10 in this, and then the very next number you have is the number 12. It doesn't even put a number 11 in it. Doesn't even put it. And it's just a matter of changing the these and thous, is it? It takes out an entire verse that tells you why Jesus Christ came to save the lost. That's pretty sad, isn't it? We're out of time, but I'm going to show you one more, and we could just go on and on. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And And I literally could show you thousands of them. Acts chapter 8. Miss Glenda, would you feel like reading a verse? When we get to Acts chapter 8, or when you get to Acts chapter 8, would you read verse number 37, please? That's a pretty significant verse, isn't it? But if you know the context of that, Philip has just witnessed to an Ethiopian eunuch and told him about being saved, and they come up on some water, and he says, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he says, Acts 8:37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Can I read it to you out of this one? I wish I could read it to you out of this one, because that whole verse is gone. The whole verse is gone. We're going to have to stop because it's a quarter till. And I had several more I wanted to show you. We might look at a few next Sunday, or just go on with the study. But you need to see that. And what you do with it, like I said, that's between you and the Lord. But what's not going to happen here, I mean, let's just be clear about it. You can throw me out and do whatever you want to, but while I'm here, that other garbage is not going to be preached from, it's not going to be read from, it's not going to be propagated in any way in New Hope Baptist Church. Amen. And if that's not how you want it, then I'm no longer the man for the job, I'm just telling you. Because we're not going down that road, and I stand where I stand on it. And I've shown you why I stand where I stand on it. And I hope and pray to God that you won't listen to this garbage that people are saying and get your mind all messed up and get you away, because it is the ploy of the devil to get you away from the true word of God. That's what he wants to do. All right, let's take a break. Yes, sir.